that he wasn't around at the point that Jesus came back. He could have been really joyful that the disciples had had it and that he was still part of them. Or was he isolated? Was he locked into a situation which was out of his control? Even though he was locked in a room with the disciples, somehow he missed Jesus coming back. Don't get how that happens, but never mind. And when we say locked into a room, it could have been a room this size. It could have been a small room like downstairs. But if you look at the locks at the back of the door, I mean, they're big locks. They're big bolts on any of these doors. But the locks then were even bigger. Bigger keys, bigger, just everything bigger and stronger. And on the inside of a door, like we used to do over here in medieval times, you'd get a whacking great piece of wood. There'd be two iron U-shaped bolts on the back of the door. You personally have to put that in, and it goes over the door and onto the door frame. So even if somebody broke the locks from the outside, they still cannot force the door open. So imagine this. They've locked themselves, literally locked themselves in, blocked themselves in, so they were hiding. Why were they hiding? Fearful for their life. They've just journeyed with Jesus. They've seen Judas deny Jesus and give him over, betraying his only friends. They've seen Peter again deny Jesus. At the cross, they all scattered. No wonder they're fearful. They've seen so much going on, but yet they still come together. What's going on in their hearts? Where they're locked in? They're locked in physically into a room because they're fearful for the people around them, for the Jewish leaders, for the Romans. Oh, are we going to be caught? Are we going to be killed? What's going to happen to us? All of this was going on around them, partly because the religious leaders in Jerusalem even, wanted to kill Jesus because of the uprising. They didn't realize that it wouldn't actually stop. The uprising and the following and the faith that came afterwards was greater than what was before, because people realized who Jesus was. I wonder, where are we locked in our lives at the moment? Where are we fearful? Where are we scared? I mean, they're horrible words in themselves. Fearful. Fear is a horrible, horrible thing. It can be a physical thing that you feel inside of you, eating you up. You don't want to do anything. So I really do understand. It's hard to, but I can try and put myself in that place of the disciples, where they're fearful for their life, fearful for their friends. They don't know what's going on in the outside world. The life they left behind was to follow Jesus, and now he's gone. Put yourself in that place. How would you feel if you were a disciple, given everything up to go and follow a man that you thought was the answer, that you thought was going to make everything right, and now he's gone? Just think about that for a few minutes. I would probably have put myself in the boat of Thomas. Not that he was in a boat, but that's what I wanted to say. I would have put myself with Thomas. Doubting. Fearful. I would have seen my friends thinking, oh, you've got it. Why didn't Jesus come back for me? What have I done wrong that I didn't see my friend? That I didn't see my master? And I would have doubted that Jesus actually had come back, especially when they had gone to the tomb and the body was gone. So how can something that's completely disappeared come back? Yet how can he come back through a barricaded building? I would have been, well, I knew what happened to him, so actually I've got to see the physical wounds. I don't want to call him Doubting Thomas. I want to call him Faithful Thomas, because he wanted to prove his faith. He wanted to trust but he didn't know how. And that was the only way he knew how, was to touch the wounds that Jesus had, that the other disciples had seen them already. In that locked place, oh, what I could have been. What were they doing, talking about, thinking? I don't know. Doesn't say. We can imagine that. We can probably think of the conversations we'd have. But that doesn't matter. The greatest thing here. Jesus comes, not once, but twice. The first time is for a few. The first thing he says, peace be with you. Now that does hit you when you actually stop and think, and amongst all of that turmoil, all of that mess that was going on, how can somebody pop through a wall and say to me, peace be with you? You're a ghost. How can you say that to me? Well, actually, he's the Son of God. He's the King of Kings. He's the Lord of Lords. Jesus had gone down to heaven. Not gone down to heaven, he went up to heaven. Gone down to hell. He was trapped in hell. He went down with the power of the Spirit, but he was still trapped. He was in a place where actually it was horrible. We can't even imagine that. But he had that peace, that overflowing, overwhelming peace of God when he was there. That's what he could say to his disciples. Peace be with you. When we think of peace in the Western society, we think of, oh yay, we're going to have peace. Everything's going to be right in this country. Everything's going to be right in France. Everything's going to be right in Europe. Everything's going to be right. Everyone's going to put the guns down and there'll be no more fighting and no more war. And the world's going to be happily ever after, holding hands, dancing around a campfire. Not quite, I'm sorry. Peace actually goes far beyond this. What Jesus is talking about is shalom. Shalom is such a great word throughout the Old Testament. But Jesus is talking about this here because it is the fulfillment of everything that the disciples had heard, been taught, and learnt. You'll have to bear with me because there's quite a few on this list. Shalom means completeness, wholeness, health, peace, welfare, safety, soundness, tranquility, prosperity, perfectness. Oh, if I could be perfect. I'm not, but I still love it. Perfectness, fullness, rest, harmony, the absence of agitation or discord. Oh, the list goes on, and that's just from one word. So the disciples knew that actually it wasn't just a piece of that the situation was going to disappear. It was a piece that overwhelmed everything. It was something they could not understand. I can't even understand it. And, you know, I'm studying a fully theology degree, you know. Yeah, don't try and understand peace from God, because you can't. That's why he gave it to us. You try and understand stuff in our human terms. And, unfortunately, we get so far. We do all right, and God's smiling. Yeah, keep going, keep going. But because we're human, we slip up. We end up putting ourselves in situations where they're out of our control sometimes. We end up locking ourselves away unintentionally. Sometimes it's by choice. Are we hiding? Why are we hiding? Are we hiding for our life? Is it really that bad? I mean, the disciples could probably literally say that because they were hiding for their life. I don't think we quite have that excuse. What situations is it that we're struggling with, where we're locked in, where we need to be released, where we need to see that peace, that shalom? The great thing about that word is that I only found out the other day that sometimes that shalom is used to greet people to say hello, and it's used to say goodbye. So not only are you saying hello to somebody, you're saying that you want that whole list of blessing and peace and tranquility for that person. And you were also saying it when you say goodbye to them. So even if they don't know, you are still blessing them with that tranquility and that peace so they can take it. The disciples in this situation, oh man, what it would have been like. I don't know. Yeah, I would have been very fearful, especially when Jesus came through a wall, let alone when you had a whole host of people trying to search for you. But peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I am sending you. If he said that, that would have been enough for me. That would have done my holy bit for the week and filled me up for the rest of my life, because Jesus has just given me a command to go and blessed me. But no, he went one step further. He breathed on them so they would receive the Holy Spirit. The same breath of God that God had breathed in the man at the very beginning. This breath that was releasing, that was freedom, was peace. That was life. This peace that Jesus gave them through the Holy Spirit, it wasn't going to change the outside situation. To be honest, if they'd opened the doors, they probably have still met the Romans. They probably have still met the Jews who were trying to find them and kill them. But it's how they went through that. They could have at that point decided, actually, should we stick it out in here for a few more days to see if they disappear? They could have been praising God at this point because they've just seen Jesus. They could have actually thought, you know what, I'm going to remove that timber from the door. Jesus has come in, and he's given me peace, but I've got to live in that. Living in a room with some friends is nice. It's a nice thought, but eventually you would get fed up with them because they're human and they have their pitfalls, they have their problems, and you've got to live with that. I mean, you ask my wife, there's so many times I upset her and, you know, we just don't agree, but that's different. We're human. But the peace that Jesus gives us enables us to go through life. It's not an airy-fairy way of living. It's a statement that we are children of God because of his Holy Spirit. So when the disciples had this and they thought, I don't know, I don't know what they thought. They were in shock probably, but lifting that timber, just imagine lifting that timber off of the door, unlocking it, and facing the problem. Facing something that they were trapped in. It's so easy for us as humans to say, well, my problem's here, and I've got a problem there and there. Right, I'll shut that door and that door, and I'm going this way. So easy to walk away from problems, especially when it's people involved in relationships, because it's easy to leave people behind and carry on by yourself. That doesn't quite cut it. Jesus came in so gently. He came into their problem. They didn't ask him. They didn't really know what was going on. They didn't know whether they could pray to a God who they'd just seen. Was he God? Is he master? Is he dead? Is he alive? Why am I praying to him? Because I don't actually understand. I would have wanted to get back on the boat and start fishing. But they couldn't because they were locked in a room. So what do you do when you're locked in a room? You've got to face the door and you've got to come out. So when Jesus came in and says, peace be with you. Yeah, all right, thank you, Jesus. Yeah, I've just seen a ghost. Cheers, yeah, you're just saying peace to me. What does that mean? It enabled them to open the door to face the problem that was in front of them. It wasn't ever going to go away, but it was how they went through it. I know there's some people in this room and also down at St. Andrew's that are struggling with personal situations at the moment. That there needs to be breakthrough. There needs to be a life. There needs to be a peace. There needs to be a tranquility. And it's not a tranquility to say, oh, it will be all right. I can enjoy that. It will be. It's a tranquility to know that it will be all right. That everything is in God's hands. So when you know people that are in a situation like that, you might be having fine. You might have no problems. And if you are, then please talk to me because I want to know how you're doing it. Because really, we're human. We should expect problems in different ways. Jesus said it. So when we don't and everything's going right, then we kind of need to see things the way Jesus sees things. Through his Father, through the Spirit. That peace. Oh, I want that peace in every situation. I don't always get it. I'm strong-headed. I'm very strong-headed. I want to do things on my own most of the time. Because it's so much easier than involving people. I mean, when you do things on your own, you can talk to yourself, you get the answers you want, you can do this, you can do that, but being stuck in a room with 12 people that don't necessarily think about the same thing as you, but you've all got to go out through the same door. Right, we've got a problem here. Who's unlocking it? Who's moving the door? Who's opening it? And who's going first? No. The first disciples that have seen Jesus were in unity. Thomas could still have been on the outside of this, but Jesus came back. He came back to somebody that was struggling. He came back because Thomas still didn't quite believe. Living in a place for 8 days with people, oh, we saw Jesus, you didn't. It's not nice. Because they were a step ahead and Thomas felt left behind. But Jesus, in his love, in his mercy, he came back so that Thomas got this as well. Thomas had to see for his own eyes what Jesus had gone through. He'd already seen one side of it. He needed to see the other side of it to completely believe. What a joy he had because he actually saw Jesus. And now Thomas had seen Jesus, he believed. They were all in one accord, in unity, about to leave that place. They could go out, right, whatever's happening to us, we've seen Jesus. He's come back. Everybody else outside might have thought they were a bit mad. How can he come back in? You're in a locked room. It didn't matter. The situation outside was still the same. But after they had had that peace from Jesus, they encouraged each other. They journeyed through life together to keep going. Just take a second. Where is it that you think you're struggling? I only say think because sometimes we don't realize we're struggling. Sometimes we got situations where actually we are bogged down and we just don't know it. So just take a moment to think about that and we'll come back to that at the end. I wonder what sort of situations it could be for your life. It could be monetary, it could be physical, it could be physical entrapment, it could be emotional entrapment, it could be mental entrapment, it could be entrapment of bills, family, somebody else's situation is entrapping you, ensnaring you, causing you to feel like your back's against the wall and you've got no way out. It's okay. Jesus is there to come in and bring that peace. I can say this because I've tested it. Some of the stuff me and Alice have gone through in the last 2 years, I would not wish upon anybody. But actually, we have tested God, we have tested our faith, and we still believe. I know, and I know that I know that I know, that God will always come through. Jesus will always come through. And you know what? His Holy Spirit will too. That's how we can do this. Jesus didn't stay with the disciples. He gave them the gift of the Holy Spirit. And that is such an amazing thing in itself. We could do a whole other sermon on that. Just the gift of the Holy Spirit. Oh, we are next series. Come along. But actually, just that gift from Jesus, when you've seen all of that turmoil, that pain, that stress, that anger, the hurt, to suddenly have that peace. It wasn't a human peace. It went beyond their understanding, their comprehension. All of this Jesus had been speaking about, they just hadn't grasped it. I think at this moment, the lights turned on. I really think they suddenly grasped it. That they knew who Jesus was. They knew what he was talking about and why he had to die. So in that, they were able to face that situation. Where is it? I've got so many situations that I could give examples of. That actually you can test God. You can prove God. You can have that peace. Even when your back is against the wall and there seems to be no way out, it's okay. Jesus is bringing that peace through simple words. Peace be with you. Peace I give to you, some translations say. Peace I want you to have. It's all exactly the same. It is still that overwhelming shalom. Remember, it's not just peace, it's that whole list. Tranquility, wholeness, fruitfulness. You know, it's a whole list. And the Israelites knew this. Oh, in a world that we can live in peace. Yes, I do want a world where we don't have wars, where we're doing everything right and we're all friends. But more, I want to live in the peace that Jesus brings. More to show that actually the situations around us are rubbish. Around me are rubbish. I put myself in half of them. But actually, this peace that Jesus brings is not just an example for us. It builds us up. It takes us through. But it's an example to everybody else. You could have a neighbor right next to you right now in this room that could be going through something so traumatic that they need peace. And they need real peace. Not just some words from a friend. They need love. They need peace from Jesus. And they might not be able to get it. They can, but they don't think they can quite access it. I would love to think that the disciples actually encouraged Thomas. It's okay, he came for us all. He came back for us all. But Thomas still had to see it for himself. And that's okay. If somebody can't quite access this peace, that's okay. Maybe we can bridge the gap for them. We don't have to have it all sorted in our lives, but we can bridge the gap for people so that they can start to enter and keep journeying and keep journeying until they see the peace. The wholeness, the completeness, the tranquility. That's a brilliant word. Tranquility. Stillness. In the midst of a storm, what it is to have stillness. I mean, when you're on the hills and all of a sudden it comes on with a storm, you take a battering from the rain because it comes from Wales, it comes from this way and it dumps at the top of the hill, which isn't fun when you're up there working, trust me. But actually, what did Jesus do in the middle of a storm? He slept in a boat. The waves were right above him. The disciples were panicking. But in that suffering of all the disciples on that boat, Jesus slept. Jesus came so quietly into this room. He entered their fearfulness. He entered their pain. And he took them through it. He didn't stop the situation. He took them through it. As I start to conclude, I just want you to think again. Where is it that you think you're trapped? Where is it you think, actually, I do need help. I could help somebody else, but I can't do it on my own. Because if we try and do it on our own, like I've said, we're human. We will slip up. I'm sorry to burst the bubble, but we will slip up. And that's okay. That is absolutely okay. To slip up in this world is fine. Because Jesus brings that peace. So I wonder now, actually, how is it that we can see this peace in our lives? How is it that in our everyday, day-to-day living, when you go shopping in Waitrose, when you go to church, when you go and meet somebody for a coffee, where is it that this peace emanates? Where does it reflect in our lives? Because people can read our faces. They can read our facial expressions. They can see if we're saying one thing and living another. I encourage us to find where we need that peace, where we need that shalom, where we need Jesus to come into our mess. Because I can invite Jesus to my mess, but it's not quite the same as him willingly wanting to do it. It's not the big stuff he's interested in all the time. It's the small, tiny details of mess. Don't get me wrong, he loves the big stuff, but he loves the small details. So I encourage you now just to think. Actually, for a few minutes, let's just stop. Where is it we're trapped? Where is it we need to move that bit of timber from that door so that we can be released? Where is it that Jesus has already come in, but we don't realise it? So I just ask to spend a few minutes thinking about where we need releasing.